Welcome to another deep dive with us. This time we're taking a look at Global Pulse 2025: Crises, Complexities, and Solutions. And well, it paints a pretty intense picture of where we stand and where we might be going. I guess we're hoping to explore some of the most pressing global issues and see if we're really at a crossroads or not. Maybe more importantly, if there are any solutions to these problems that seem to be so interconnected. And really, the one that's kind of impossible to ignore right now is the climate crisis. I mean, it's gone way beyond just bad weather these days.
It really has. Global Pulse 2025 does a great job highlighting the severity with examples from around the world, like those intense heat waves in South Asia.
Oh yeah, where they were pushing the limits of like human survival.
Exactly. Those and the flooding in Europe, it was unprecedented, washing away infrastructure that's centuries old.
And of course, we have to mention those wildfires raging across North America. They seem like they're almost impossible to contain at this point.
It seems that way, and these aren't just isolated incidents anymore. These are clear signs of a planet that's struggling under the strain of human activity.
And the effects aren't hitting everyone equally, right?
Tragically, no.
It's crazy when you think about a place like Vanuatu, that tiny island nation that's barely contributed to the problem, but they're literally facing being swallowed by the rising sea levels.
Yeah, it's a sad illustration of how imbalanced this whole situation is, and a recent UN report that Global Pulse features shows that we're on track to exceed that 1.5 degrees Celsius warming threshold.
The one everyone's talking about.
Yeah, and all those efforts to adapt. Well, it seems they're just not keeping up, which means places like Vanuatu are staring down an existential threat through no fault of their own. And I think that raises some complex questions about immediate humanitarian aid versus those long-term systemic changes that are needed to tackle the root causes of climate change.
Okay, so let's unpack this whole idea of climate finance for a second, because the report points to a major gap between what was promised and what's actually happening. Weren't wealthier nations supposed to be pledging like $100 billion a year to help developing countries combat climate change?
They were, and Global Pulse really shows how far short we are. And that funding shortfall has a real-world impact.
In a big way.
Take Pakistan, for example.
Yeah.
They're still trying to recover from those devastating floods we mentioned, and they're saddled with huge debt. They're actually spending more on debt repayment than on flood recovery.
It's kind of a horrifying example of how these problems can intersect and make a bad situation so much worse.
It is.
And that leads to a potential solution that Global Pulse proposes. It's called debt for climate swaps. And to be honest, it sounds almost too good to be true, like something out of a sci-fi movie.
It is a bold idea,
Yeah.
but at its core, the concept is pretty straightforward.
Yeah.
So imagine a nation burdened with debt, having that debt canceled or restructured in exchange for their commitment to invest in verified green projects.
Okay, so things like large-scale reforestation, building solar energy grids, or investing in sustainable agriculture.
Exactly.
But wouldn't that be a tough sell to the folks who currently hold that debt?
That's where the report gets really interesting. It frames these swaps not as charity, but as a matter of global survival. Because in the end, climate change impacts everyone. And this approach recognizes that helping nations invest in climate resilience benefits the whole planet in the long run.
I see. So it's not just about helping those in immediate need. It's about recognizing the interconnectedness of this crisis.
Exactly. And the report even goes into the potential for these swaps to generate a return on investment through things like carbon credits or the creation of new green technologies that could be shared globally.
So there's a potential financial incentive as well that's fascinating, but I can't help but wonder about the practicalities. Like, how do you actually make sure those green projects are happening? And what about corruption? Is that a concern?
Those are all valid concerns, and the report acknowledges them. It stresses the need for strong transparency and accountability mechanisms built into these agreements. So things like independent monitoring of the projects, clear metrics for success, and even penalties for non-compliance would be crucial.
Makes sense. So it's not just about waving away debt. It's about creating a system where those funds are actually driving positive change.
Exactly. And the report even suggests using blockchain technology to track funding and progress, which would make it much harder to divert funds or misrepresent the outcomes.
It sounds like they've really thought this through.
They have. It's a well-researched proposal.
Okay, so this debt for climate swap concept definitely seems like something to consider, especially for places struggling with both climate impacts and economic hardship.
It's certainly a solution that needs careful consideration and robust implementation, but the potential benefits, as Global Pulse lays out, are pretty significant.
Now let's shift gears to a different kind of hotspot, the escalating tensions between the US and China trade wars. tech bans military posturing in the South China Sea? It's giving everyone serious Cold War flashbacks, wouldn't you say?
It's definitely a worrying trend, and Global Pulse 2025 frames it within a larger pattern of solidifying power blocks. So on one hand, you have China expanding its influence through initiatives like the Belt and Road,
creating that network of economic and infrastructure partnerships across Asia, Africa, even Europe.
Right. And on the other hand, you have the U.S. strengthening its traditional alliances like NATO and forming new ones like AUKUS, focused on security and military cooperation.
And then on top of all that, there's the tech arms race, right? It seems like whoever controls the future of AI and things like quantum computing will have a serious edge.
Global Pulse has a whole section dedicated to this. They call it the invisible battlefield. They argue that AI and quantum computing are adding a whole new layer of complexity to this rivalry. Imagine a world where algorithms control financial markets, cybersecurity, even military decision-making.
It's a little unsettling to think about.
It is. The stakes are incredibly high.
Wait, hold on. You mentioned quantum computing. What exactly is that?
Oh, good point. It's essentially a new type of computing that harnesses the principles of quantum mechanics to solve problems that are impossible for even the most powerful classical computers to handle.
So way more powerful than our current computers.
Way more powerful, and it has the potential to revolutionize fields like medicine materials, science, and yes, artificial intelligence, which would give whoever masters it a significant strategic advantage.
So we've got these two superpowers locked in this high-stakes competition. But meanwhile, the planet is literally heating up. The irony is, doesn't everyone kind of lose if we can't address climate change?
That's the real tragedy here, and the report highlights this. It argues that while we're preoccupied with these zero-sum games of power and influence, the real existential threats like climate change are being ignored. These crises don't respect borders, and the longer we wait to cooperate, the harder it will be to address them effectively.
And the longer we wait, the higher the human cost. It's already unfolding, with climate refugees fleeing uninhabitable regions, disinformation campaigns eroding trust in institutions and protests fueled by resentment and economic inequality. It's a pretty bleak picture, isn't it? So the question is, how do we back away from this brink? Is meaningful dialogue even possible in this climate?
Global Pulse suggests that dialogue is not just possible, but it's essential.
Okay, but how?
It emphasizes that it can't just be superficial talks and photo ops. It requires genuine attempts to understand each other's perspectives, find common ground, and rebuild trust where it's been broken. It's a tall order for sure.
It feels almost naive to imagine these rivals sitting down and hashing things out.
Yeah.
How do you even get them to the table in the first place?
Well, the report explores some unconventional and perhaps controversial ideas. One is this idea of back-channel diplomacy, where unofficial representatives or intermediaries can engage in confidential talks to explore potential areas of cooperation without the pressure of public scrutiny.
So kind of like a secret meeting of the minds?
Yeah.
In a way, yes. And it allows for more open and honest dialogue.
Interesting. And what about those tech advancements we were talking about? Could those be part of the solution?
That's another intriguing idea the report puts forward. It suggests that instead of hoarding these technological breakthroughs, the U.S. and China could consider transparent tech-sharing agreements, particularly in areas related to climate change mitigation and adaptation.
So instead of competing to see who can develop the best technology first, they could work together to share knowledge and resources.
Precisely. It's about recognizing that we're all in this together and that collaboration can lead to faster and more effective solutions.
Okay, so let's play this out for a second. Let's say we manage to get these two superpowers to actually collaborate on something like a massive solar energy project or developing a new carbon capture technology. Is that even remotely realistic given the current level of distrust?
It might seem far-fetched, but Global Pulse argues that the alternative of continuing down this path of mutual suspicion and hostility is far more dangerous. It's a gamble, but one potentially worth taking. And the report suggests starting small, focusing on areas where both sides have a clear shared interest, and then building on those successes to create a foundation of trust for tackling more challenging issues.
It's definitely a thought-provoking idea. I mean, if we can't cooperate on something as urgent as climate change, what hope do we have for addressing any of these global problems?
It's a valid concern, and it really makes you wonder if we're capable of seeing past our differences and recognizing the shared fate that binds us all in this increasingly interconnected world.
That shared fate brings us to another major issue outlined in Global Pulse: economic inequality. It seems like in this age of AI, the gap between the haves and the have-nots is only getting wider. We'll dive into that more after a quick break. So we're back and ready to tackle another big challenge that Global Pulse 2025 puts under the microscope, and that is economic inequality. It feels like with all its promise of progress, this age of AI is also fueling a growing divide between the haves and the have-nots.
Yeah, that's a paradox that the report explores in depth. You know, the World Bank data actually reveals that global inequality has reached a 50-year high in 2025. So while AI is driving these incredible advancements in productivity, it's also creating a two-tiered world where the benefits are not being shared equally.
Yeah, it's like we're seeing two parallel realities playing out. You have those booming tech hubs like Silicon Valley and Singapore, those places where AI innovation is creating immense wealth and opportunity. But then on the other side, you have those rural areas and those manufacturing towns that have been hit hard by job losses because of automation. It's a pretty stark contrast.
It is, and Global Pulse actually uses the term digital divide to describe this disparity, and they highlight how access to technology, digital literacy, and infrastructure plays a crucial role in determining who benefits from this AI revolution and who gets left behind.
It really is more than just economics. It's about access to opportunity, education, healthcare, even just basic services. So what can we do to bridge this gap? The report mentions universal basic income, or UBI, as a potential solution. Is that realistic?
Well, UBI has been a hot topic for a while now, and Global Pulse tries to present a balanced view. They acknowledge the promising results from trials in places like Finland and Canada, you know, where UBI provided a safety net and helped people adapt to a changing job market.
Right, but I imagine scaling something like that globally would be a logistical nightmare, not to mention the cost.
Exactly. Funding is the main hurdle. And the report explores various ideas like taxing AI profits or even implementing a global wealth tax. But it acknowledges the political and economic challenges of such measures, and it also highlights the philosophical debates around UBI, questioning whether it disincentivizes work or even creates dependency.
And we're already seeing the darker side of this AI-driven economy playing out. Global Pulse features a story about those big workers in India going on strike to protest against AI-powered wage cuts. It feels like something straight out of a dystopian sci-fi movie.
It's a stark reminder that AI can be used in ways that exploit and devalue human labor. And the report stresses the need for strong ethical guidelines and regulations around the development and deployment of AI, particularly in the workplace. You know, they call for a human-centered approach that prioritizes fairness, transparency, and worker protections.
So UBI might be a piece of the puzzle, but it sounds like we need a more holistic approach. Does Global Pulse offer any other solutions for tackling this economic divide?
They do. They advocate for a multi-pronged strategy that combines social safety nets like UBI with proactive measures to empower workers and foster economic inclusion.
So what would that look like in practice?
Well, the report proposes a hybrid model that starts with investing heavily in education and reskilling programs. So think coding boot camps, data science courses, green tech training, anything that equips people with the skills they need to thrive in this new digital economy.
It sounds great in theory, but how do we make sure that those programs actually lead to decent paying jobs?
Well, that's where the hybrid part comes in. Global Pulse suggests mandating that companies benefiting from these AI advancements are required to hire a certain percentage of their workforce from these reskilling programs.
So kind of like a AI-powered jobs for AI-displaced workers approach. I like that. But what about those communities that have been hit hardest by automation, especially in those rural areas? How do we prevent a brain drain where everyone just flocks to those big tech hubs?
That's a great question, and the report addresses this by advocating for those regional innovation grants and incentives to encourage the development of those local tech hubs and startups in those areas. So the idea is to create economic opportunities where people are fostering entrepreneurship and revitalizing those communities.
Oh, it's about more than just economics. It's about social mobility, regional development, and giving everyone a chance to participate in this new economy.
Exactly. It's about creating a future where technological progress benefits everyone, not just a select few.
It's a hopeful vision, but it requires a real commitment from governments, businesses, and individuals to make it a reality. Now, let's turn our attention to another pressing concern that has plagued humanity for centuries: global health and that ongoing threat of pandemics.
This is an area where Global Pulse 2025 really drives home the interconnectedness of everything we've been talking about. Climate change, economic inequality, geopolitical tensions, they all play a role in shaping those global health outcomes.
So we're back. And yeah, it's clear from climate change to economic inequality that the state of global health is really deeply intertwined with all these challenges we've been discussing.
Definitely a sobering reality, and Global Pulse does a good job of bringing that to light.
And, you know, it feels like just when we thought we were getting a handle on one pandemic, another one emerges. It's like a never-ending cycle.
Yeah, the COVID-19 pandemic really expose the fragility of those global health systems and how interconnected our world really is.
Global Pulse 2025 paints a pretty stark picture of where we are now in 2025, because we're not just dealing with those lingering effects of COVID. We're also facing new and emerging infectious diseases and the growing threat of antimicrobial resistance, not to mention that constant risk of zoonotic spillovers. It's a lot.
It is, and it feels like a never-ending battle.
It does, and it's a battle that's being fought on an uneven playing field. One of the biggest challenges the report highlights is that vast disparity in healthcare resources between those high-income and low-income countries.
It's a huge gap that became painfully obvious during the pandemic.
Yeah.
You know, we saw those huge differences in access to vaccines, treatments, even basic healthcare.
And that inequality doesn't just impact those countries directly. It creates a breeding ground for infectious diseases to spread and mutate, which ultimately puts everyone at risk.
It does. It's a global problem that needs a global solution.
So Global Pulse 2025 argues that strengthening health infrastructure, particularly in those under-resourced countries, is really paramount. But what would that actually look like?
Well, it's a multifaceted approach that involves investing in healthcare workforce development, you know, building those robust surveillance systems that could detect outbreaks early on and ensuring equitable access to those essential medicines and vaccines.
And that requires international cooperation, right? It can't just be up to individual countries to tackle this.
Definitely. Organizations like the World Health Organization play a vital role, but they need a lot more support and resources to effectively coordinate a global response.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so we need stronger health systems, better surveillance, more equitable access to care. But what about the role of research and development? How do we stay ahead of these constantly evolving threats?
Well, that's another crucial piece of the puzzle. Global Pulse 2025 emphasized the need to accelerate the development of new vaccines, treatments, and diagnostic tools.
It's like a race against time, right? These pathogens are constantly evolving and adapting. We need to be able to keep up.
Exactly. And the report highlights the potential of mRNA vaccine technology, which was instrumental in the fight against COVID-19. It argues that this technology could be harnessed to develop vaccines for a wider range of diseases, including those with pandemic potential.
That's incredibly promising, but it also raises questions about access and affordability. We need to make sure that these new technologies are available to everyone, not just those in wealthy nations.
Absolutely. And the report stresses the importance of global solidarity and knowledge sharing. It calls for increased investment in research and development in those low-income countries and for mechanisms to ensure that new vaccines and treatments are affordable and accessible to all who need them.
And what about the role of technology in all of this? I mean, we've already seen how technology can both exacerbate and mitigate some of these global challenges.
Yeah, Global Pulse 2025 have a whole section on the potential of technology to revolutionize global health. You know, we're seeing the development of those AI-powered diagnostic tools that can rapidly identify pathogens, telemedicine platforms that can expand access to healthcare in those remote areas, and even mobile health apps that can help people manage chronic conditions.
It sounds like science fiction, but it's happening right now.
It is, and it has the potential to transform how we prevent, detect, and respond to these health threats.
But as with any powerful technology, there are those ethical considerations.
Definitely, the report stresses the importance of responsible innovation, data privacy, and equitable access. You know, it argues that these technologies should be used to empower individuals and communities, not to create those new forms of inequality or surveillance.
So it's about striking that balance between harnessing the power of technology while ensuring it's used ethically and for the benefit of all humankind.
Exactly.
Well, it's been a fascinating, albeit a little intense, journey through the global landscape as we explored Global Pulse 2025 together. They laid out some pretty significant challenges facing our world, but also some potential pathways forward.
It's a good reminder that while these problems may seem overwhelming, we're not powerless.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we have the knowledge, the tools, and the collective capacity to make a real difference.
And as we wrap up this deep dive into Global Pulse 2025, we want to leave you with this final thought while we wait for those global solutions. What can you do locally to contribute to a healthier, more just, and more sustainable world? Remember, change starts with each of us.
It does. The world needs your voice, your ideas, and your actions.
This has been The Deep Dive, and we hope you'll keep diving deep with us as we explore more of those pressing issues facing our planet. Until then, stay curious, stay engaged, and most importantly, stay hopeful.